Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness.
It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is a Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, which can only mean that Todd and the team are out on campus today looking for innocent victims. Precious students to talk to share the gospel with. And today they're back out at beautiful Kennesaw State University in Kennesaw, Georgia, which is roughly about, I guess I'd say, an hour northwest of downtown Atlanta. I say roughly because, you know, with Atlanta traffic, it could be 3, maybe 4 hours. Just all depends on what. Well, they're not really able to figure that one out just yet, which is why the traffic around here is so weird and wonky all the time. But I digress. We're not here to talk about Atlanta traffic. We're here to eavesdrop on Todd, talking Jesus to college students. So let's send it out to Todd now on campus again at Kennesaw State University. Todd?
Connor, this is not what I was going to ask you about, but because you're an art major, I'm gonna. Did you ever take art history?
I have not, no.
Do you believe that art represents either the views of the artist or the attitude and the philosophies of the culture of its age?
Probably the attitude and philosophy.
Somehow, whatever the culture is believing, it kind of shows up in their art.
Right.
Do you think that there's a little bit of the artist in the artist painting?
I do think, yeah.
Do you believe that there can be a painting without a painter?
Absolutely.
How?
Through other people doing it. You could tell someone to paint something.
Sure, but somebody's doing it. I'm saying, I know it's a weird question, right? Because it's like, well, of course you need a painter to have a painting, right? Do you need a builder to have a building?
I do think that.
Do you need a creator to have a creation?
Yes, I do think that.
Right, so we intuit that there must be some sort of higher being than us to have all of this stuff. All right, so Connor, here's the question of the day. It's also the question du jour. Who do you think that creator is?
I'm Christian, so God.
I think God is the creator, all right? And who is this God? If I came to you and I said, Connor, who do you think God is? What would you tell me?
An envisionist? I mean, I'm not sure. I've obviously never met him, so.
An envisionist? I've never heard that term. What does it mean?
I guess he had the thought to create life and to have purpose for that life to do something. We might not know it, but I still think there's that purpose.
There's a reason for all of this.
Right.
But you don't know for sure what it is.
No.
You know what? I think I would argue that statement. Do you mind if I do that for a second?
That's fine.
I'm a Christian, and the Bible says that God has works that he has prepared for you to do. Specifically, it says God has prepared works for you to step into. The question, of course, is what are those works? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So your purpose, your reason for existence, the reason all of this exists, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what I think our purpose is. What do you think of that?
I'd have to agree.
So what does it mean to glorify God, do you think?
Spread his message, worship him.
What is his message?
It's a broad question. To love those who do not sin and to not sin. And
so to behave and tell other people to behave too. All right. How have you been doing with that message? Have you been behaving?
Probably not in his intention. Ups and downs.
Ups and downs. So what are the consequences for those ups and downs?
I mean, in his eyes, I'm not sure, but I've had my consequences from other people.
when you do wrong, you pay a price for it, right?
Yeah.
So if that's true with people, so let you know, you beat up your little brother and then he grew up and got bigger than you and beat you up. Okay, so you paid for it, if you will. But if we have to pay for our crimes done against others, what about the wrong things we've done and sinned against God? How does that get paid for?
I'm not sure. Are you asking if he pays for it?
I'm just asking. Your sins require a payment because the wages, the payment for sins, is death, according to the Bible. So that means you're going to die, because we do, we all die. But then, because you've earned the wage of death, it's also eternal death, where we pay for our crimes against God forever in a place called hell, God's prison, his eternal prison. So if you've sinned against God, how are you going to have your sins paid for? Are you going to pay for them forever in hell? Or does God have another means for your sins to be paid for?
I guess it would depend maybe upon the sin that you commit, or how he believes he should, I guess, punish you for those sins. But I guess just based off the text, I guess hell's the punishment.
You said it depends on what the sin is. Let's try some. Have you ever lied to anyone?
Yes.
How many times?
Too many to count.
Okay, so a lot of times. Have you ever stolen anything?
No, I've never done that.
You're not lying to me now, are you?
No.
Even as a kid, like something that didn't belong to you from another kid, a pencil, maybe coins from your parents' purse, anything like that?
I mean, if a pencil's on the ground and nobody's there to pick it up, I don't know if that's stealing.
But... they're downloading music, anything like that, that would be taking from somebody. How's about this? You've had a job, right?
I have a job, yeah.
Did you always work every single minute, or were there times when you goofed around and slacked off?
There were times I goofed off and slacked.
So in a sense, you were stealing from your employer because you weren't earning your wage. You were freeloading. Okay, sounds like a modest deal, but that's a way that we can steal stuff. All right, so one might get a little trickier. Lust. Have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her?
Yeah.
So you're a guy, and that's what we guys do, right? Okay. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Because God goes beyond what we do on the outside. He sees the intentions of our heart. Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Have you ever been angry at somebody?
Yeah.
Because you live in Atlanta and you drive and you murder in your heart. Okay, because that's exactly what Jesus said too. And the Bible teaches that when we're angry in our heart, it's akin to murder. Now, it's not as bad as physically killing somebody, but the motive, the heart, is there. And God sees that too. All right. So, Connor, you just said that you're a lying, thieving, adulterer, and a murderer at heart. Pretty serious crimes. God calls your number. You die. You stand before the judge, God himself. The books are open on Connor's life. He knows every thought, every word, every deed, everything you've done that you didn't think anybody saw, every imagination that would cause you shame if your mother knew what you were thinking. The books are wide open. Would God, if he's just, find you innocent or guilty?
Personally, I think he'd find me guilty, just because, like you were saying, it is in my heart, which is, I guess, the true nature. Even if you didn't do it physically, you still did it mentally. So I guess he would commit me as a guilty.
So what do you think God would do with you, Connor? Take you into heaven or send you to hell?
I'd like him to take me to heaven, but I'm unsure.
What if you're standing before a judge, guilty? You've got a fine, a debt. It's millions. You have no chance of paying it. The judge is about to slam his gavel, and somebody rushes into the courtroom and says, Your Honor, stop. I know Connor, and I love Connor, and he doesn't have millions of dollars, but I do, and I'm going to pay his fine. If the judge received that payment for your debt, you're free to go. You can be a criminal whose case has been dismissed. You said you're a Christian, Connor. Let's talk about the eternal courtroom. You're standing before God. You should be damned for your crimes against him. Connor, who paid your fine for you?
Like, who's already passed away, you think? Or like...
I'm not going to give you a hint. Who's paid, according to the Bible, who has paid the fine for Connor?
Jesus.
How did he do that?
He was crucified and he gave his life for us. So I believe that, I guess he in turn could pay that fine.
That's what he was doing. That was the point of the cross. It wasn't just an act of foolishness. He wasn't a lawbreaker. He never broke any law. He went to the cross on purpose as an innocent man who never sinned on behalf of sinners, because there was something judicial, something very legal that was taking place. 2,000 years ago, God the Father was pouring out the wrath that you deserve on his own son to pay your fine so that your court case could be dismissed, so that God could see you as a forgiven criminal. That is who paid your fine for you, according to Christianity. So you don't have to go to hell. Your court case can be forgiven. But there's another addition to this that's important.
Okay, stop. Hang tight just a second. We'll get back to Todd and his gospel presentation to Connor just as quickly as we possibly can. We just have to take this really quick break, and we will return to Todd and Connor at Kennesaw State University. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio.
So you already believe in biblical creation, right? You're convinced that Genesis is true. But let me ask you this. Can you confidently explain why? You know what you believe, but can you tell others why you believe it? When someone challenges you, do you have the answers that silence their skepticism? Well, now you can, because coming up March 21st and 22nd, Dr. Jason Lyle, renowned astrophysicist and biblical apologist, is coming here to Fortis Institute to help you strengthen your foundation. He's going to walk through 10 powerful lectures that will provide the evidence to show exactly how science confirms what Genesis says about creation. Dr. Lyle is going to give practical tools, not just theology, but logical, irrefutable arguments to confidently defend biblical creation. Genesis is true, science confirms it, and now you'll be able to defend it. Reserve your spot if you live in or near Alpharetta, Georgia, at fortisinstitute.org/creation, because believing is great, right? But being equipped to explain why you believe what you believe is even better.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Important dates in Christian history. 1536. John Calvin publishes The Institutes of the Christian Religion, the most substantial theological work of the Reformation. Calvin's ideas would deeply influence church and politics in Switzerland and Scotland and take root in the newly discovered North America.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And welcome back. It is Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio, of course, and Todd and team are out on campus at Kennesaw State University today. And when we left them, if you remember, Todd was in the middle of a gospel presentation to Connor, who is a professing Christian. So we don't want to take any more time away from that conversation. Let's get right back to Todd and Connor now at Kennesaw State University.
It's one thing to be forgiven. So let's just say Jesus died for your sins and you're forgiven. There's still nothing about you that should cause God to say, not only do I forgive, I'm going to give him heaven. I'm going to actually let him inherit eternal life and be with me forever. There's no reason that he should do that, except Jesus never lied. Jesus never stole anything. He never dishonored his parents. He never looked with lust. He always did the right thing. He was accruing a bank account full of righteousness. And he says, I'm willing to give that to Connor too. So not only can Connor be seen as forgiven, he can actually be seen as the righteousness of God so that God can look at you and see you as if you had lived the life of Jesus Christ. That is what God is willing to do for you. Now the question though, Connor, is forgiveness is available. Adoption into his family is available. Righteousness is available. Everlasting life is available to you. Right now, the question is, how do you get that? What transaction needs to take place for you to receive all that God offers for you in Jesus Christ? Do you know?
Worship.
Well, that's what we should do. But somehow a transaction needs to take place. God offers you mercy and forgiveness. And there's a reason that he does that. I don't know how this is going to hit you, but this is what God says. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, because God loves you, a sinner, a rebel by nature, somebody who doesn't do good, who doesn't worship him the way that we should. Nevertheless, he loves us, and he proved it by sending his Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven and be the righteousness of God in Christ. But Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, unless Connor is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God? What was he getting at?
I guess if he's just done so wrong that he's like been born again, he isn't like righteous enough to be able to have eternal life with God.
Let's be literal. Jesus said you have to be born again. All right, so let's just think physically. Connor, do you have the ability to be physically reborn?
Probably not.
You'd have to go into your mother's womb, and you're too big for that, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So he wasn't talking about a physical thing. So it must be the spiritual realm that he's talking about. So here's what the Bible tells us about ourselves. You and I are born spiritually dead. We're dead men walking. We're rebels against God by our nature because we like to do our own thing. God has to make us spiritually alive. And here's how that transaction works. You come to the recognition that you are a dead man. You come to the recognition that you have been living for all the wrong things, that you have not been living for the one who made you, that you've been living for yourself, and you've been breaking his laws knowingly because you've got a conscience, and that you justly deserve temporal and eternal punishment. But you learn that Jesus Christ died in your place, and you realize, I don't want my lifestyle. I don't want my way of living. I don't want the sins. I don't want the lust. I don't want the pornography. I don't want the dirty deeds. I want none of that. I want the one who died for me. God says when you come to the end of yourself, you die to self. He'll make you born again. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll make you a new creature. He'll give you a new heart with new desires, new affections. And he will adopt you into his family when you repent. You turn from your sins, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Think of it like this. A man comes home from work, gets out of his car, he's got a bag of groceries, and he's got his backpack, and he's carrying them into the house. And his kids that he just adores come bursting out of the door, yelling, Daddy, Daddy. What's that man going to do? He's not going to hold on to his stuff. As important as the groceries and his bag of work is, it's not nearly as valuable as his kids, so he drops it. to embrace the better thing. That's what repentance is. The sins that you currently love, because we all have sins we love, just done with them. I want God. That's what it means to turn from your sins and to put your trust in Jesus Christ, not to earn forgiveness, but because forgiveness has been totally and completely earned for you. And that way, when you step into eternity and God says to you, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, it is totally based on his credit, totally based on everything that he's done, not yours, because it is a gift from God, not of works, so that no man can boast. Connor, here's the big question. I'm a total stranger, man, and you let me invade your world and share this with you. Is what I just said to you true or a lie?
I mean, it's a truth in your eyes or in God's eyes or whoever believes this is the truth.
Nope. I believe this is a yellow elephant. I'm wrong. My belief doesn't make it so. Jesus didn't exist because I think he existed. Jesus didn't die on a cross because I believe that he did. He either did or he didn't. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's either true or false. You don't have an easy out on this deal. You can't say, well, it's just my belief. Mm-mm. I made a claim. I made what I think is a factual statement or a falsified statement. And my belief or your lack thereof doesn't make it true or false. The question is, was Jesus lying when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? That's the question for you today.
I don't think he was lying.
Then he's your God, and he commands you this day to repent and put your trust in him, to be forgiven of your sins, and to inherit eternal life. That is his command, and it's his gracious offer. He says, if you do that, I will not cast you out. I will forgive you, adopt you. I will hold you in my hand, and I will never let you go. When you die, I will take you to heaven because I'm the God who loves you and dies for sinners. So, Connor, you said when we started that you're a Christian, but Jesus said in order to actually be a Christian, you must be born again. You must have died to self, put your trust fully and totally in him, where he is now the centerpiece of your life. Do you think this moment still that you're actually a Christian?
Probably yes.
Probably yes. Why do you say that?
It's just, I guess, how I believe. So it's how I'm going to treat my life, worship my way.
Is it possible that maybe today might be the day of salvation for you? That maybe you just didn't have all of the information needed to fully grasp the faith that you say you profess? And that maybe you do need to be born again? And that today you do need to talk to God about the state of your soul and how you've been living and how you're going to live in the future? Is it possible that maybe as I walk away that you need to actually call out to God, maybe for the first time, repenting of your sins and putting your trust in his son? Because the good news is, if you do, you're saved. It's a guarantee. But don't deceive yourself, because he's not one to be tricked. Okay, so don't be self-deceived, because a lot of people can be. If you don't remember when you were born again, you're not. Okay, if you don't remember, you know what? I have stopped living for myself. I do love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you probably don't, but it's so much better to come to that conclusion today and humble yourself than to face him on judgment day when he says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't want to hear those words. It is final. It is sealed. You don't want to hear that. You want to hear, come, inherit the kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant. So, Connor, I don't know your heart. I don't know what's going on, but at least take some time today to think this through really carefully, because God wants you to know that you're his child. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have a cleansed conscience. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have purpose in your life. He doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want you pursuing lesser things. He wants absolutely the best for you in every regard. He's good and he's kind. But you got to come to him on his terms. And it's his kindness that should lead you to repent, not because he's an ogre, not just because you might be afraid of hell, but because he's been so kind to save you from hell. You should run to that God, because nobody's ever been nicer to you than him. So as I walk away, would you at least take some time to think about that?
Yeah, I will.
And if you conclude, I'm not right with God, I just want to make sure you understand this. What do you need to do in response to the good news that Jesus died for you, a sinner? What needs to happen? Repeated it several times. Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, and he'll forgive you and grant you everlasting life. All right, fair enough.
So is Connor genuinely born again? I really don't think any of us can honestly answer that question. Only God has the knowledge of Connor's salvation. But what we all can do is pray for him, not because we think he's deceived and lying to himself, but because we really do desire for Connor to be not only truly reconciled to God, but to know for certain that he is. So let's all commit to that. Let's all commit to praying for Connor at Kennesaw State University. It is a Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.